You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning online for those who are watching online. And welcome as we continue our series on prayer. And if you have your Bibles, I'd get you to turn to Ephesians 3 and we'll go there in a moment. But it would be remiss of me not to remind ourselves that we're one in Christ. There are no Springboks. There are no All Blacks. There are no Silver Foxes. We're all one. All right. But anyway. I am following on from Milo's introduction a few weeks back. We had Victor come and share on prayer. We had Chris last week. Sean will be here next week. And so I think God wants to speak to us about prayer and obviously the opportunity to sign up at the back after the service. And what has God been saying to you? How has that been impacting you over the past few weeks? Is it something we just come and listen to and then toddle off home? Or is it something that, you know, is resonating in your spirit and you are changing and you're transforming and you're growing your inner being? And so this morning, we want to continue to encourage you in that place of prayer. And I think, you know, if you haven't seen all the videos, go back. You can see them online and you can watch them again. They're worth doing because it's something that God is trying to speak to us. Now, we believe God speaks and then we have to respond. And so if you have your Bibles there, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll start there. And I'm going to read from verse 12 first and then go jump down to verse 14 and read the rest. It won't be up on the screen, but it will come as we go through this sermon this morning. So Ephesians 3, verse 12. And so it starts off with, in him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So everyone, we all have the opportunity to approach God. And with that, Paul goes on to say, for this reason, because I have the freedom and confidence to approach God, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, together with all the Lord's people, will grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so last night at the quiz night, Nick was here. Nick Van, he's the pastor down at Golden Bay. And he says to me, how are you going? I said, I'm great, I'm preaching tomorrow. And he goes, oh, what are you preaching? And I says, Ephesians chapter 3, the prayer, you know. And he goes, oh, wow, that's so hard. And I go, oh, that was encouraging, you know. But what he meant was, he said, it's just a beautiful few verses. All you want to do is read it. All you want to do is read it because there's such beautiful verses. But, you know, we are living in crazy times. And I just want to set a bit of a context here. And we need to pray, obviously, we need to pray as Christine just prayed. But I think we can fall into the trap of prioritising praying to change the world. We fall into this trap of prioritising to change the world, make the world a better place. But Paul's prayers are never about making the world a better place. And so these are just a few scriptures I've got here. In Luke, Jesus taught this to the disciples. He said, you will hear of wars and uprisings. Do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes and pestilence and various places and fearful events and great signs from heaven. And so Jesus teaches us these things will happen. And it's, don't you think it's crazy in the year 2023 we have a war in Ukraine? You know, we have a war in the Middle East, in Israel. We have the victimization of Israel and Jewish people. You know, in Afghanistan, Central African Republic, Ethiopia, Libya, Mali, Somalia, South Sudan, Syria are all currently experiencing civil wars right now, as we're meeting here this morning. You know, 3,000 people were killed in an earthquake in Morocco just last month. 60,000 houses were damaged. Now, World Vision tells us that 45 million people in 37 countries are at risk of starvation right now. You know, Paul's heart was not to pray for a better world, although we can pray into those situations. To bring it home, you know, Paul taught Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, which is up there as well. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. We are in the last days. You know, from the time of Jesus to the time of his return of the last days, and what Paul is saying, there will be terrible days. There will be terrible times. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love. Does this sound like any particular time? You know, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, having nothing to do with such people. And so Australia, again, context, is living through its share of terrible times, even though we have the reputation of being the most lucky country, the best place to live in the world. Yet, we have high rates of domestic violence, high rates of mental illness, suicide, shoplifting is a dilemma, it's a child abuse and neglect, alcohol and drug abuse. This is a nice sermon, isn't it? Immorality of social media, the divide between left and right politics, which is getting bigger. You know, you only have to look at the referendum. The divide between the Western world, what that believes, and what the church believes is getting wider. Paul's prayers are fundamentally not about changing the world to be a better place. We can pray for those things. His prayers are about building the church so we don't become like the world. That's what his prayers are about, so we don't become like the world, that we can live in the world but not be of the world. Because the world is going to be the world. It's not going to change. Jesus has taught us it's not going to change. Consider what the Apostle John teaches us. It will come up on the screen for you. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. The Message version, I love the Message version. The love of the world squeezes out the love of the Father. So what we're trying to do, we're trying to pray. Now, Paul's heart is that the love of the Father will not be squeezed out of you. That is the heart of Paul's prayers when we begin to look at this prayer we're about to share this morning. So I'd ask that you would join me. There's this one part of this prayer I want you to put to memory, because I think there's one part of this prayer that we put to memory and the rest of it is so that. So the one thing you have to do is remember this part of the prayer when you leave this morning, and every morning when you're prompted, just pray this part of the prayer. If you can't remember anything else, that's okay. If you can, well, so be it. You can continue with that part of the prayer. But it's just a few words that you have to remember in this prayer. Even though it's quite lovely to read and a lot of people have gone into deep theological truths about this prayer. But what I want to share with you, there's a part of it you just have to pray and commit to pray, commit to memory, and it'll become part of your life. So Paul starts, for this reason, in verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So Paul writes about how he's going to pray first, 3:14 and 15. For this reason, a posture of kneeling before the Father. That word Father is our God in heaven, from whom every family, the family means fatherhood really. It's about he is our every person on earth, whether you're in heaven or on earth, you're part of the fatherhood. You're part of what God has created. So Paul, this is just the way he starts his prayer. He's a posture of kneeling and a posture of hallowing God first. You know, he kneels before him and then he says, everything comes from you. A little bit like the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name. You start off a posture with his body and then an acknowledgement of who God is. He is big, he is wonderful, he created all things. And it's what Jesus taught the disciples, you know, our Father, hallowed be your name. Before he starts his requests, It's just this posture of recognition. You are God. I am your servant. I am your child. And I am here to serve you and to ask you to begin to move in the realm of my situation and circumstance. So for this reason, he gets on his knees. And now this is the part I'd like you to consider, verse 16, because I think this is the crux of what Paul is asking the Lord. And in the Greek, the word I pray doesn't turn up in that. There's no praying in the actual Greek, because it comes up a couple of times here. It just says, and grant that our glorious riches may be strengthened with power in his spirit in your inner being. So basically, all Paul is asking is this to the Ephesians. I pray that your inner being will be strengthened. That's it. I pray that your inner being will be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's his request. He's saying, Father, I'm kneeling before you now. I recognize through your great riches, Father, I recognize that you are the Father of all families, heaven and earth. I am asking, Father, that you would strengthen these Ephesians in their inner being. So when you wake up tomorrow morning, when you go to bed at night, it's about saying, Father, I just pray that you would strengthen my son, Alex, in his inner being. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen my daughter, Jade, in her inner being. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen the people of my church, my family members, in their inner being. That's all you have to do. A very practical, put-to-memory application. Wake up in the morning and start praying that everyone's inner being will be strengthened. And by inner being, obviously, we're talking about that, you know, the soul, the heart, the spirit, that part of our inner person. Now, I call it the Noah. In the Old Testament, they call it the belly, the gut. I've got a little bit of a gut. I've got a lot of gut to smack, you know. But you know, in your gut, you know, there's a few people in my family. I want them to know this, be strengthened in their gut. Not just in their head, not just in their feelings. Now, it's great to come and worship and our feelings can be touched. Now, for some of us who are more, you know, scripturally liking to read word, you know, our mental acumen is challenged. But God wants to strengthen you in your core of who you are, in your inner being. And so what Paul is saying here is, Father, I bow before you. I recognize out of the riches of your mercy, would you strengthen these people in their inner being? So that, and here comes a whole pile of so that's. Now, if you remember all these, well, good on you. You know, like you can pray all the so that's. But if you don't remember the so that's, God knows. You're praying, Lord, I want you to strengthen the people I love in their inner being with the power of the Holy Spirit. So that. And with this so that, it sort of reminds me with my grandkids when I'm trying to get them to eat, because who knows that all little kids don't eat everything, don't they? You know that. And so I always teach that when they come around, I say, put it in your mouth, down in your stomach, and you grow. And so most of my little grandchildren, they can go in the mouth, down the stomach, and you grow. You know, but my goal is just to get it in the mouth. The rest of it is so that, you know, so that it'll go down in your stomach, so that it'll grow, so that you will be healthy. But my goal is simply get it in the mouth. And I think this prayer is simply, you know, get strengthened in your inner being. So that. And the first so that comes up is so that Christ may dwell in us. You know, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So the first thing, when you're strengthened in your inner being, it makes room for Christ to come in. And now, Christ is already living in us. I get that. Paul's not saying that Christ's not in us. But he's saying you're opening the door to allow him to live in you. Christ, that's the hardest thing. That's not easy to allow Christ to dwell in you. Now, we all believe that Christ's in us, but allowing him to dwell in us. You know, Jo came to prayer this morning, we were at pre-prayer before the service, and she brought a song. She said, I just want to play this song. And it's a great song, and it goes like this. I can't sing it because I can't remember the tune, but I would if I knew it. But I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do. So when we're praying for Christ to dwell in us, we're praying, you know, I'm making room for you to do whatever you want to do, to transform us, to change us. But it starts with be strengthened in your inner being. Father, I just want you to strengthen Val in her inner being, Christine in her inner being, so that Christ will dwell in her, so that you will be rooted and established in love, so that you together may know how much God loves us, how big the love of God is. And so we're praying for the strength in our inner being, for one, for Christ to dwell in us, and two, to know this love. You know, the measure of the strength in your inner being, Anne asked me this morning, because she asked me to share what I was sharing, and she said, so how do you know if you're being strengthened in your inner being? And I said, you love more. You love more. You know, you begin to love in a way that you can't. You begin to love in a situation that you don't have the strength to love. You love that unlovely person. You love that person in work who's a pain in your neck. You love that family member. You love that in-law that is just making your life hell. You love whatever it is. You begin to love more. You begin to express the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, kindness, self-control, gentleness. But you know, that just doesn't happen. You have to be strengthened in your inner being through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. So the measure of a strengthened inner being is the ability to love more, to love in a greater capacity, so that you may, filled to the measure of the fullness of God. So you will love more, and then you will be filled to the fullness of the measure of God. You become more like Jesus. But it just starts with that simple prayer. If someone's not following the Lord, you want someone to get saved. Lord, strengthen them in their inner being through the power of your Holy Spirit so they can come to know you. Fill them in the Spirit with inner being so they may become more like Christ. They can change, they can adapt, they can transform. How does the love of God impact your life today? Now, we all have areas where we can love better. What are those areas where we're really finding it hard? That situation, that person, that circumstance where, God, you can't expect me to love that. Love he, it, love her, love him, love them. But God's saying when you're strengthened in your inner being, you know him. It's the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all yourself. Love others as yourself. And so the prayer, we understand the prayer. We wake up in the morning, we say, Lord, strengthen Christine in her inner being. Strengthen the people I love in their inner being with the power of your Spirit. And the beauty of this is, if we can go to the next slide, and people use this scripture all the time, and that's fine, you know, because God can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. But what he's saying, this is in context now. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at working with, that was the start of the prayer. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus for all generations forever and ever. You know, God can give you the ability to love when you don't think you can. That's what it's saying. You can love situations more than you can imagine because you're praying for the inner being to be strengthened by the power of the Spirit so Christ can dwell in your heart, so that you can be rooted in love, so that you can go out and live the full measure of God in every circumstance that you face. How good is that? He can do immeasurably more than you can imagine in this area of love. And so it's complicated, it's hard. That's why we need to pray, because we need the power of God's love in our life, the power of the Holy Spirit in our inner being to be able to live in such a way. You know, as we face all these dark things that I've shared at the beginning, how do we love in those situations? You know, through the power of the Spirit in our inner being. So I suppose one last time, you can remember, I kneel before the Father. who from his rich mercy, you know, can do all things. I ask that you would strengthen my wife Anne in her inner being with the Holy Spirit, so that Jesus can dwell in her heart, so that she'll be rooted in love, so that together with all the saints we can know how big you are in your love, so that I can walk in the streets in the fullness of God. If you can remember all that, but if you can't, all you have to do is, Lord, strengthen Steve, the pastor, in his inner being. That's it. Every morning. And we've all got people we can pray for to be strengthened in their inner being. So I would encourage you this morning, make this your prayer and put it to memory. You know, we've been talking about it for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Sean's going to come next week and talk about Philippians and John 17, which will be really great as well. But each time, God is talking to us about prayer. That's why we come together. And so allow the word of God to penetrate our hearts and take away, what is he saying? Is this something that's true? Is this something that I can put into practice? And then begin to pray the way Paul is calling us and sharing here in Jesus' name. Now, I've got a garden. I started a job in my garden about 2 years ago. I'm serious. 2 years ago, and it's now finished. I didn't expect to clap, but, you know, allowing Christ in our hearts, that's what he does. He takes something that needs work and begins to develop it so that we become like Christ. Allow Jesus to penetrate your hearts and your inner being. Listen to what he's saying and ask him, how can I then practically go forth and be part of a prayer that goes on in the life of this church? And we're not talking about coming to ministry, we're talking about just everyday life. We are called to be people of prayer in all that we do. Let me pray and we'll finish. Father, I thank you for the opportunity just to share your word this morning. So powerful. We thank you for these scriptures. We thank you for Paul, the Apostle Paul, as he teaches us to pray. Lord, I just pray for every member here this morning, every person who is part of our congregation, everyone that's online watching, Lord, that we would be strengthened in our inner being by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can go forth and be the people that you call us to be in this crazy world. Be with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.